Glad you know what I want.
Like a blow!
That's what I wanted.
Every week.
Thank you.
Every week.
Yeah. The fact that I had to ask you for it is a little upsetting.
No, I was going to see, like, I was waiting for one of you to ask, because I knew it was coming. Next week you won't have to ask. It'll just be recording and...
Like a blow!
Just going to really screw you guys up is when I come up with something new. Well, I don't know about you guys, but that was one hell of a week.
Well, I've noticed a trend in the podcast that we record. And this week, I'm drinking whiskey. Last week, I drank beer. The week before, I drank whiskey. The trend is, when I lose, I drink whiskey. When I win, I drink beer. I don't like it. I did not do it on purpose. And yet here we are.
You didn't do it on purpose, but subconsciously, I think you were like, I needed something stronger this week.
I need stronger medicine this week. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Although, I have drank whiskey every episode we've recorded, and I have yet to lose. So there's some validity to your theory, I think, Mike. I like it.
I think I'm going to be the outlier here, guys, because I've drank whiskey every night or every podcast, and I lost this week.
My win. See? Look, whiskey. Whiskey has me believing that I won. No, I did not win. I lost in glorious fashion. You know, the annoying thing about my matchup with Matt, I guess I'll speak his name today, I needed 37, I think, points from Zeke. And by the end of the game, I only needed like 11 more. And had he gotten that touchdown, I only would have needed 3.5 more points, which I probably might have maybe gotten, probably not. But I would have felt a lot better about it.
After watching, because I sat there watching that game because I needed 50 points, 50 plus from CeeDee Lamb and Miles Sanders, which did not go well at all. He got that touchdown.
He absolutely got that touchdown. And by he, I mean Dak. Dak got that touchdown.
Honestly, the fact that CD didn't get it is more upsetting than both of those things. He fell an inch short. And 5 minutes into the game, I am at the TV yelling and screaming, yes, I've got this in the bag, to what the fuck do you mean he's down at the one? And it just went downhill from there. But you know what? I'm going to hold off on that because there's... We could sit here and talk for 30 minutes on that game, and I still will have more to say. Because I need to have a discussion with the offensive coordinator of Philadelphia.
We definitely don't have time for that.
And look, I'm just saying, I need to talk with the offensive coordinator in Philly, because I have some very strong words for him.
Like about how they didn't run the ball at all?
No, they ran Miles Sanders twice, he broke two tackles both times, and got 10 plus yards on both carries. And they looked at that and went, maybe we should throw it. Also, to continue my stand on younger quarterbacks not understanding that a check down exists, Jalen Hurts doesn't know what a second read is. First read's covered, I'm a running. That's what he does. And it's frustrating.
That's better than what Fields did this week. First read's covered. I'm going to stand here and wait for him to get open or until I get sacked.
I mean, here's the thing. He did that at Ohio State, too. That didn't surprise me. Like, what surprised me was that it doesn't appear to have been coached out of him yet. Like, it didn't even seem like he'd been working on it. The other thing that surprised me about that game was that that offense was designed for Andy Dalton. And Justin Fields and Andy Dalton play quarterback very, very differently. So why the everlasting genius of Matt Nagy can't figure out how to use a quarterback is beyond me. But at this point, you got to think that it wasn't Mitch's fault. Matt Nagy ruined Mitch's career, and he's about to ruin Justin Fields' career.
The fact that he's still the coach today is mind-boggling. How you let your young rookie quarterback, the future franchise quarterback in most people's minds, get sacked 9 times and not go, hey, maybe we should save him, put up like an extra couple linemen, maybe put a couple tight ends to also help block, or I don't know.
Not one time did they throw a tight end in to help. Not one time. Not one time did they use David Montgomery to block.
Or 0 times. maybe let's just sacrifice Nick Foles again. Let's take Fields out and put Foles in, because if he gets hurt, oh no. I say that meaning all the well wishes in the world to Nick Foles, because I don't dislike him. But if I have to pick a quarterback in Chicago to keep safe, it ain't Nick Foles.
Agreed. I did hear today that there's already rumors swirling that if the Bears lose to Detroit, which could very well happen based off
Detroit
of
looks
we saw
good.
Last week.
I like Detroit. They look real good. They lost on a fluke field. They lost on a record-setting 66-yard field goal.
And that shouldn't have happened.
Detroit's fault. You saw the delay of game that wasn't called. Too,
I saw that, but also if Justin Tucker had made that kick in the beginning of the game, we're not even having that conversation in the first place.
I fully agree. And I've been ragging on Detroit.
If the Bears lose to the Detroit Lions, there's already talks of Nagy getting fired. So for the first time almost ever in my life, go Lions.
Hey, fantasy football.
Is that what we're here to talk about?
I think so. We should start a separate Bears support group podcast. Maybe we'll meet on Thursdays or something. We've got some matchups to review. We got some stuff to talk about. We got some matchups to look ahead at. Spoiler alert on that one. Week four. Not largely interesting, but we'll talk about that later. Week three in the books. I don't know. What do we want to kick it off with? Who do we want to start with? Who did we trash the most last week that we should trash less this week?
Who do we want to trash less this week?
I want to trash everybody.
Facetiously, we're obviously trashing people more this week. I don't think we did enough of it last week. I thought that we talked in listening in review. I thought we talked way too much about the actual matchups and not enough about the managers who made their terrible decisions and mistakes. I think that we need to talk more about why Carlos is terrible and why Dan, Carlos, and Matt, despite their wins, are still in 10th, 9th, and 8th place. It befuddles me.
Well, let's take a look at what happened here, because it ranks them based on points four, like the rankings, and this is unprecedented. There are 6 teams that are 1 and 2 right now. Over half the league is under 500. And I say that knowing full well that, Mike, you're one of those 6.
I am. But right now, I am still in line for the playoffs in 5th place. Let's go.
So let's look at the bottom of the barrel here, right? Let's take the bottom 3 who have yet to score 550 points. Our top guy is me at 650, followed by Joe at 630, and then Tom at 617. Dan has not scored 500 points yet. Total.
Dan has a lot of problems.
And looking at his team, wow. He does have issues. What's worse is he is top heavy by a wide margin. Herbert, Eckler, and Justin Jefferson are just doing work. Everybody else is just shit. It also doesn't help that he left James Robinson and his 25 points on the bench. Christian Kirk and his 17 points on the bench. Jacoby Myers and his 18 points on the... Jesus, man, you gotta learn how to put in a fucking wide receiver.
What I love is the amount of just trash you're tossing at him right now. And he won. Like, he beat Eric... leaving all that on the bench.
Jesus. Dan, I don't want to skip ahead, but God, I hope you don't learn any lessons this week at all.
Does that mean you're playing him this week, Clyde?
Maybe. But on the other side of the ball, Eric, you know what? And I went back and re-listened to a couple of the podcasts this week. I'm going to, like, toot my own horn again. I fucking called it with McCaffrey. I told y'all 2 weeks ago that this is a 100-100 receiving and rushing player every week, possibly. But I countered that by saying that at any point in time, he could go down for multiple weeks. And here we are, week 3, looking at 4 to 6 weeks without Christian McCaffrey. That's got to hurt, Eric.
You know who has Christian McCaffrey's backup, whose name is upsettingly Chuba Hubbard and not Chuba Hubbard.
Like, the rich keep getting richer.
Is it Joe?
It's Joe.
Like, by the end of the season, he's going to have all 32 running backs. You're not even allowed to have that many players on your team, but he'll just have the ball. And their handcuffs. And their backups.
When did he draft Chuba, or did he pick him up? Is he psychic? Does he know the future? Do I need to like kidnap him and make him tell me who to play?
That is a good question. Give me one second to pull up the draft. I believe he drafted Chuba.
I know where you live.
I also think Clyde's fact checking. I believe he drafted him. He did not draft him.
Hold on. I looked up the wrong name. I was mistaken. He drafted him in the 20th round, pick 2010.
So that's still with 8 rounds to go at that point. So Joe may have some sort of crystal ball.
It was not even his last running back taken.
I mean, the dude just took all the running backs. So eventually one of them has to pay off, right? Like he had, I think, what was the count? Like he had like 9 running backs. And unless he's dropped anyone, still has 9 running backs.
At this point, I just expect him to add more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he added, I believe he's the one responsible for adding Cordero Patterson. So there you go. That's a running back right there. So now we're up to 10. Unless did he lose anybody?
Not seeing anybody he lost.
All right. So Joe is up to 10 running backs. And, I mean, you can only play 3 at a time in this league. So for you running back needy teams, to segue back into what we were talking about, Eric, maybe you want to talk to Joe about getting the backup for your, or I should say the handcuff for your Christian McCaffrey, which, by the way, you only have Christian McCaffrey because Joe did not draft Christian McCaffrey and Caesar wasn't paying enough attention and text drafted Dalvin Cook. So this is really Joe's fault, but really this is Caesar's fault. So if you're looking for someone to blame, blame the guy who makes wine and make him send you a bottle for free. What went wrong for Eric this week?
Losing Christian McCaffrey in 20 points probably lost him the game, if I'm being bluntly honest.
What I think you mean is Dan only won because Eric didn't get a full Christian McCaffrey.
I mean, gotta remember, this is our official first Clyde of the season. And he lost by a half a point. I gotta imagine Christian McCaffrey doesn't get hurt. I imagine that Christian McCaffrey hurt gets you 0.5. But beyond that, looking at his bench, it's a barren wasteland. He left 20. You know what? There was his mistake. He left Madison on the bench after Dalvin Cook was ruled out. 23 points gone right there.
And who got that start over Madison in his lineup that wasn't Christian McCaffrey?
It was Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon or
so,
Mark Andrews slash Gronk.
You're
Mark
saying
Andrews, that's the one.
I don't know that I agree with that. I mean, I'm not sure that I would start Madison over any of those guys. I mean, Gronk, 2 touchdowns the first 2 weeks. Juju is at a Juju was in. I mean, Juju was in his wide receiver spot maybe, but you can't play either of his tight ends anywhere. I don't know, man. Mark Andrews, Rob Gronkowski, both have had great starts to the season. I think I'd rather take them over Mattson, who was good and has put up good numbers in the past. Like, it's his first game. You never really know what to expect. Plus, they're playing Seattle. Minnesota hasn't been doing that great. I don't know.
Honestly,
That's honestly a tough call.
There's one player that we could argue about a little bit more than any of his running backs. You could argue Cole Beasley should have been in his starting lineup, but that discussion becomes Cole Beasley or AJ Green. And that's not an easy discussion.
I mean, pretty easy call for me. I go Madison over Mark Andrews pretty readily, especially after the news that Dalvin Cook is going to be out. I mean, if Dalvin Cook's playing, obviously I'm not putting Madison in, but you draft Madison to put him in when Dalvin Cook goes down. Like, that's why you have him on your team. So if Dalvin Cook goes down and you don't play Madison, I'm not sure why you have him. I'll I'll take him from you if you don't want him. And then the AJ Green versus Cole Beasley conundrum. For me, it's Cole Beasley. He's got the safer floor, in my opinion. I mean, the guy was like a top 30 PPR wide receiver last season. I think he's doing it again this season. I haven't looked at it. I did try to pick him up off the waiver wire after Dan of all people dropped him. And Eric got to him first. Eric had the priority on Beasley. I'm still a little mad about it. I would have taken the unvaccinated king onto my roster.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of places here where Eric had some hard choices to make, and had he made the right choice once, he wins. That's it. That's all it takes.
All I heard was Dan got his first win on a technicality. Fuck you, Dan. Rivalry.
I'm choosing to believe he got his first win because the Chargers beat the Chiefs in epic fashion. And I'm here for it, Dan. I support your decisions, Dan. Now, if next week you could continue to not know how to play your lineup, that'd be great.
I want nothing more. And I say this as the person who's chosen Daniel as his sworn enemy this season. I would love to see Dan beat the ever-loving shit out of your face.
Well, looking at his team, they got some work to do.
What are we going to next?
Well, I mean, we've talked about Dan getting his whoop ass. Well, no, I take that back. Scratch that. We talked about Dan squeaking out a victory. Let's take the next squeakiest victory we can. Let's talk about you and Matt, man. What happened?
I'm okay if we just skip that one this week.
No, can't do it.
I mean, I think the only thing that is really important to point out is that Mike, the reigning champion, who assuredly won last week, failed to score 200 points this week and lost, and is now starting this year 1-2. I mean, coming back from 0-1 is one thing. 1-2, Mike, that's tough. How does that make you feel?
I'm really not that worried about it, if I'm honest with you. It's a very long season, and if you haven't been contacted by me about trades, you are going to be. So that's where I'm at. I am just jettisoning people off my roster at this point. So we'll see what happens in the coming weeks here. But yeah, this one didn't go my way. And I realized that had I started... So what happened last week when I won was I tinkered a little bit. This week, I didn't tinker. But when I tinkered last week, I actually tinkered myself out of points. So this week, I was like, maybe I just don't. And didn't play Javonte Williams or Nyheim Hines in my flex spot over Noah Fant like I had planned to. Really wanted to put Hines there. Had I done that, I win. And I didn't. I played myself.
Yeah, no, I think we've said it before, and we should say it again. You're putting way too much faith in the Giants this year, Matt. You gotta stop that. It's not good for your health.
Well, especially now that Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard are dead, at least temporarily.
You know, there's one thing that I just want to briefly point out in regards, just because this player happens to be in this matchup, a little bit of a bet update. Clyde, Sammy Watkins has still not scored more than 13.6 points.
Give it time. There are 17 games to pick from, buddy. Additionally, a bet update. Julio Jones with his third straight game. That's three down.
Did. You know what else Julio Jones with? An injury.
Not worried.
What is his injury?
I believe this one is a knee.
Did he leave the game?
I don't think so. He left briefly and came back with his knee heavily taped.
Because they did lose AJ Brown, did they not?
Hamstring strain. I believe it was a hamstring strain, yes.
Mike Vrabel came out and said they were just trying to manage where Julio Jones was in the second half. He's fine.
Mike Vrabel learned how to do coaching from Bill Belichick. Do you think he's going to tell you what's actually happening?
That's fair.
You're not going to have the Titans head coach and be like, hey, so next week we're not going to have AJ Brown or Julio Jones, which means we're starting Ryan Tannehill and the guy we found sleeping outside the stadium.
This does bode well for you, though, Mike. Right? You have the bet with Clyde about Julio?
I do. I do indeed.
if AJ Brown sits, Julio sees more work. Julio sees more work. He gets hit more. He gets broke.
That's true. And I hate to root for injury. I just prefer that he get kind of injured and come back and be really, really great for only 9 games exactly.
I think that's a fair thing to ask for.
You know, they can make the playoffs too. Playoff games don't count for this bet.
That's true. That's true. I still feel pretty confident in my bet. I still feel really confident we got 10 games of Julio Jones this year.
It's not looking good for me. I will say that much.
He's made it further than either one of y'all assumed he would.
Whose terrible matchup were we talking about? Oh, right. Mine. I don't know. A lot of things went wrong for me. Some things went wrong for Matt, too. They just went less wrong for him. You know, hey, Saquon Barkley, is he back?
No.
not that. That's just, you know, them playing the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes.
You know what hurts the most about my matchup with Matt is the fact that he beat me, not because of, but largely due to the efforts of one Kirk Cousins. And I hate it, because I don't like Kirk Cousins very much.
You know, you only hate it because we just spent the last 3 weeks ragging on Trevor Lawrence, and he finally figured out, oh, maybe I should switch this guy out. Because yeah. Trevor Lawrence promptly threw for 5 points this week.
That seems about right. Yeah. And if he does that again, I win. Stupid Matt. Stupid listening to this stupid podcast. Why the fuck do we do this podcast? This is a stupid idea. This is the outlier. This is the outlier. I'm in first place most every other season. We start doing this podcast. I'm in fifth. People are picking my brain from this podcast. This is not okay. I'm going to stop talking. That's what it is. I'm just going to sit here silently and stare at the screen in front of me and just listen to the two of you go on and then go to put in my 2 cents and be like, no, I'm not going to do it.
You do realize that if you just stop talking, Mike, this is going to become a whole conversation, a whole podcast about Clyde ranting about God knows what, and me occasionally being able to sneak in a okay.
Yeah, I mean, the longer I go, the more whiskey I drink, the worse it gets.
See?
Yeah, our episodes would be like 17 hours long. Clyde would get fired from his job and have to just... I don't know what he would do, but he'd keep recording. Like, I think we'd have like he'd get a GoPro and just wear it constantly. We'd have a lot more content, but it wouldn't be good content.
It would be, you know, I'd get a van and a CB radio, and I would just have my own radio station, and I would just never shut up. Like, I'd get like 3 hours of sleep a night, but it would devolve quickly. We would stop talking fantasy football, and then I'd get into politics, and then whew, downhill quick.
Oh, God, could you imagine if we started a political podcast? Talk about 17-hour-long episodes of just screaming into the ether.
Oh, God, it would be so bad.
And another thing. So who else played this week? Because I don't want to talk about my matchup anymore. In addition to fuck you, Dan, fuck you, Matt. I don't know, because reasons. I haven't talked to you since, like, Saturday, and the fact that there was no trash talk while you were beating me pisses me off even more, man. I mean, for fuck's sake, listen to last week's episode. I had a whole commissioner's communication corner. Use your words like a big boy.
Tell us how you really feel.
There'd be more expletives.
Well, luckily, we're not on Disney, so...
We might be at this point. I don't actually know where this thing is. Who else played in our league this week?
We have not talked about the Medina Bowl yet.
The Medina Bowl was upsettingly uninteresting.
Only because I think Cesar went off his meds. Did you see how many points he left on the bench?
I did. And I know he did, too, because he texted me on Sunday, and he wasn't doing great. He was having a tough time.
Was he trying to bribe you into switching his lineup so he could beat his little brother? Also, giving him his first win?
Yeah, I think giving him his first win is the right way to put that. Like, that Carlos's win was gifted to him by his drug-enhanced older brother.
I mean, it's just sad. There's no reason I should be the only 3-0 team in the league right now. You done fucked up, bud.
I like how you just slid that in there.
I've been waiting for the opportune moment.
I mean, Caesar, man, like, so much went right for you. You got Brady with 30 points. You got Harris with almost 30 points. DJ Moore got 20. Your kicker kicked a NFL record-setting field goal and got 17 points. Like, what happened? Oh, I know what happened to you. The same thing that happened to the Bears. Myles Garrett got 4.5 motherfucking sacks. That's what happened to you. Myles Garrett sacked Bears fans' souls into oblivion, and he sacked your fantasy team into its first loss and your brother's first win.
I think that's giving Myles Garrett too much credit. I think really Cesar just shat the bed on this one. I'm not trying to take anything away from Carlos. He put up a great score this week, and his team actually finally showed up, save maybe Montgomery. And that's not Montgomery's fault. That, as aforementioned, goes to the back of one Matt Nagy. You suck, get fired. And sure, Myles Garrett, 25 points for a defensive lineman. It's fucking huge. It's great. It's awesome. Cesar still, had he set his lineup better, easily has this win.
I mean, what are you playing Gio Bernard? You're really making that decision?
No, that's honestly probably a fucking fluke, but still.
You know who I'm not playing? Kyle fucking Pitts.
I'm not playing two tight ends, period, unless they're Travis Kelce and George Kittle.
I'm sorry, but Kyle Pitts, I'm ruling him a bust right now. We're 3 weeks in, he is a bust. At the fifth pick, that is a bust and a half.
I don't think he is a bust. I think that team is a bust. And as long as that is the team.
He's a fantasy bust.
Oh, he's absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. For this season, Kyle Pitts is a fantasy bust. Absolutely. Atlanta is terrible. How they've continued to stay relevant in fantasy up to this point is kind of surprising. I think we're finally seeing their true colors. Get rid of them.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with any of those points.
I can't argue, which is why I'm just pivoting to something else, because I just looked at Carlos's team and I'm very confused by something. If I'm not mistaken, the Cowboys shellacked the Eagles this week, right?
Yep.
So how in the hell did Dak Prescott only get 18.5 points?
By the second half, they didn't have to do anything. It was literally just turn, hand the ball, be done. I watched every minute of that game because of fantasy implications, and I was very unhappy about how it went. Dak didn't have to do much, and I know he's got 3 touchdowns, and should have 3 and a rushing touchdown, if we're honest. But Philly was god-awful. Probably another thing that doesn't help is he had a fumble in the end zone. He also got sacked 4 times, so it should have been like 24 points. But Hargreaves, as we'll talk about in a minute, fucked Prescott's day up all day. Another thing that I'm noticing is Tyreek Hill is not having a very good year. And I think we can 100% full-heartedly blame Baltimore for this. For the second week in a row, the defense...
Wait, hey. What about week one?
I got nothing for week one. I'm trying to figure out what he did in week one.
37.1 points in week
Yes. one. Yes.
15 targets, 11 receptions, 197 yards.
Let me finish the point I was making. Tyreek Hill is getting fucked because of what Baltimore did the next week. They lined up and said, you are not going to beat us. Travis Kelce, fine. Patrick Mahomes, fine. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, ha. Any other receiver you got can score on us, but your ass will not score. And because of that, the Chargers came in and did the exact same thing and locked him down. So you're going to see a lot more teams try to take Tyreek Hill out of the game because the two teams that did it beat the Chiefs.
Here's the problem. Chiefs saw that and went, you know what? We're going to fix this immediately. We're going to sign Josh Gordon.
And if I could be so bold, teams looked at that and went, okay, but Tyreek's still not going to beat us.
I looked at that and went, okay. Clyde looked at that and went, oh my God, I got to get him on my roster right now.
For the first time ever, I finally have him, and I don't know what to do because he's not going to do shit. I'm calling it now. Just because I own him,
you drop him. That's what, as somebody who has had him, in fact, I believe I had him the first year he was suspended, you just drop him.
Nope.
I need to make the point that's already been made, but I need to make it again. You have all of the Chiefs worth owning with the exception of CEH, and you could make an argument that he's not worth owning. I'm just saying, watching you own not one, not two, now three different Chiefs players, and all of them offensive, is chef's kiss.
I think I'm just going to rename my team Chief Sadness.
I think you should be Super Chief, is what I think.
Oh, no. No, I can't do it. Like I said last week, if I had to choose one of my teams to win, man, the Chargers take precedence. Especially going against Joe. If I had to pick a team to beat me, that's fine. Because I know I'll get that one back at some point. I get a second shot at him.
Don't act like it doesn't hurt you.
This gives you exactly what both of you want. I'm back in second place. I dropped one spot. Just one. So, if anything, how you two are not just loving every bit of this is beyond me.
What? You think we live to see you in the teardrop spot?
Yes.
I mean, you're partially right.
Yeah, I gotta.
I don't know if I'd say I live for it, but I definitely love it.
That's yes.
It significantly brightens my week. Honestly. It feels right. You know, it's just how things are meant to be.
Honestly, there was a lot about this matchup that was really good. and there was a lot that was bad. I think the Chargers-Chiefs game made the matchup so much better because of all the points that were on the board. The one that fucked me over was the damn Dallas game because neither team did anything helpful for me. If anything, they did everything that was non-helpful. But, I mean, all credit to Joe's team. He whooped ass this week. He beat the shit out of all of us by about 40 points. So, props to him. Props to the win. I'm looking forward to round two. Maybe even round three.
I mean, we should probably highlight a little bit more about Joe's team than just that unceremonious high five that you just gave him.
Okay. His running backs were great. He got 30 points from Cooper Kupp. He got what? 27 and a half from Kareem Hunt, 30 from Cooper Kupp, 20 from Kamara.
30 from Mike Williams, 20 from Kamara. I mean, 11.15 from a Green Bay linebacker who I almost picked up last week and now I regret not picking up.
Jalen Hurts on
his bench got 20 points, and Cordero Patterson on his bench got 17 points.
His bench players look better than some people's starting rosters.
If you want to like a benchmark for how good his team played this week, Lamar Jackson only got 19 points and was the low point of his offense, like by a large margin, I'd say. So I mean, fucking, he kicked my ass up and down the field. I don't disagree with that in any way, shape, or form. He had a great week. Not to say I had a horrible one. I just didn't have as good as one as he did.
So, you know, I guess because rules and just how this podcast is formed and functions, I guess we have to talk about Tom now.
What, you sound so sad, Mike.
Well, you know, there's only one undefeated team left.
I won, and I am undefeated, and I am in first place. Suck it, Mike.
That is the correct answer.
And the rest of you, but mostly Mike, because he's the one that is obviously the most upset about this.
Now, let me just point out one little tiny, small, absolutely minuscule detail here. If you hadn't gotten 40 points from your starting quarterback and another 23 from your RB1 and 20 from your wide receiver one, you had an okay week at best.
What I just heard was if your players didn't score points, you wouldn't have won.
I mean, I'm looking at three players that were high above their average.
And who's maybe okay, four. So Josh Allen finally showed up. That's why I drafted him in round two.
Yeah, Allen, Swift, Evans, and Higbee.
I mean, you can hate on Swift all you want, but I'm not hating. I don't think 23 points for him is really that outside the box, especially when they're playing Baltimore, who is notorious for having high scoring games. And Higbee, if you follow tight ends, which you obviously don't, Higbee is doing really well this year. And I needed a flex player, and he was there, and I gambled on him, and it paid off.
I'm not saying that those players didn't do good. I'm saying we should look more at the players that did. Because you had a bunch of players that didn't do well.
Are you talking about Jonathan Taylor? Because I'd like to talk about Jonathan Taylor very briefly.
I'm also talking about Rondale Moore.
Yeah,
I mean, I was waiting on that one.
He scored more points than DeAndre Hopkins this week, so...
Box of puppies could score more than them two did.
What's with you and this box of puppies, man?
I have, of course, any who's.
So you're worried about Jonathan Taylor?
No.
Are you excited about Marlon Mack seeking a trade?
I am. Yes. I mean, I'm excited for Marlon Mack, especially since I have him on my bench. In relationship to, like, Marlon Mack to Jonathan Taylor, I'm not excited, because that's why I drafted Marlon Mack, is to have him as the backup in case anything did happen to Taylor. So I don't know what happens from there. I mean, Nyheim Hines, you know, they're kind of 1A, 1B. It seems like one of them has a great week while the other one doesn't, and they flip-flop.
Yeah, I believe that was at least this week, it was a 50-50 snap share, like dead even.
And I mean, Hines did better this week, right? I believe he put up.
And he got in there for the he got a touchdown, and he's getting not all of, but the majority of the receiving work.
You got to remember that Jonathan Taylor is a bruiser that wants to go in the middle, and Nyheim Hines is a Sproles archetype, where he's a receiving catching. Yeah, he's a great shifty running back, and he works great in the passing game. So the two of them work really well together. The problem that Marlon Mack has is he's the exact same thing as Jonathan Taylor, except older and not quite as good.
So, you know, Tom, anything else you want to highlight about your glorious victory here?
I mean, I don't know if I'd say it was glorious. It was a victory. I'm happy with it. I'm glad to be 3-0.
What is the view from the top?
I mean, it would be a lot better if I also had the most points scored in the league, but I don't, as Clyde has previously pointed out. So, I don't know. I feel good that I am continuing to put my best players in my starting roster, save Peyton Barber somehow fucking blowing up this week. Who would have guessed? That being said, I know it's not going to be easy to stay here. I'm going to keep doing what I can to try, though. Maybe once I play a real team, I'll feel differently. But so far, it's been, I mean, Dan, Eric, Eddie. So,
oh God, are you comparing yourselves to Denver? Jesus.
Wait, is that really your first week? Like your first 3 weeks? Is that what it was?
Yes.
So you have the easiest schedule with the exception of Eric. Like if you had played like Dan, Carlos, and Matt, like pretty much the same. Probably.
Yes, and ironically, my week four matchup is Matt. So 4-0, here I come. But then I play Clyde. I'll squeak out a win. He'll cry. It'll be a good day.
I mean, he is the teardrop, so that makes sense to me. I mean, I guess we should probably highlight Eddie like a little bit, you know, just so we could say that we talked about everybody.
You showed up, Eddie. Nice job. You set a lineup, they let you down.
Your player scored a medium amount of points.
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, AJ Brown getting hurt kind of sucks for him. why he's starting Damian Harris, I don't really understand, but maybe that'll be good going forward.
I believe it was because Daryl Henderson was hurt, who might be back this week. So we'll see what happens there.
But yeah, I mean, on the bright side, it's not like he left a ton of points on his bench.
So you're saying that this is like the best he could have done?
I think it's pretty close to. I think it would. I mean, he could have maybe nickeled and dimed his way past me, but I don't think there are moves he would have made that would have been smart to make.
Have I let this go on enough to bring up the fact that had I played Tom in any week this year so far, I would have won?
All right, so that was week 3. On to week 4. You know, looking at matchups ahead for this week, we've got Joe versus Caesar, who still hasn't gotten us that punishment video, and I'm starting to get a little antsy. But Joe's projected to win that one by, you know, a few points. We'll see what happens there. Then after that, we've got Carlos versus Eddie in a little bit of a... It's not a barn burner. I don't know why I was going to say barn burner. Nobody cares. And then it looks like we've got Clyde versus Dan.
You know what, Dan? I really just want to say fuck you to in this, but I don't think that's good enough. I mean, that's what Matt would do, and I want to be so much better than Matt because, honestly, I'm that much better than you, Matt. So fuck you, Dan. I hope your box of puppies gets the shit kicked out of him this week, even though I love Herbie and Rickler. I'm still going to whoop your ass up and down this week so bad that we're going to have to change both our team's name because you will be a box of dead puppies, and I will have to figure out what I'm going to name it to counteract that, but I am looking forward to kicking the ever-living shit out of you.
That was epic. And, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Fuck you, Dan! Yeah! Yeah, rivalry. Rivalry. Then we've also got me versus Eric. And, man, I don't have anything nearly that mean to say to Eric. I would just appreciate if you lost. And if you want to keep Christian McCaffrey in your lineup, that would be great as well to kind of just seal that in there for me. But, you know, if you want to put up a fight, that's cool too. I will still wipe the floor with you, Clifton. Let's go. I don't know if you went on your honeymoon. I don't know where you're at. But come back, show up, and let's do this thing. I am ready to go. Get ready. Lastly, I don't know why we keep saving this for last, but Tom and his undefeated team has a matchup this week as well. And that matchup is against my opponent from this week, Mr. Matthew.
Well, I'm out of whiskey. He's not worth my time.
Well,
bye.